Good morning, and welcome to Taylor Reports, CIU 289.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. I want to say off the top, you can continue to donate to the station, wonderful programs, CIUT.FM. We thank very much for the support that we've been getting. And we'd like to get to something rather urgent, and it is a condition of refugees in the war-torn country of Congo. And there's been a statement issued called SOS Refugees, and it's an open letter to the United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees. And it's on behalf of an organization of Rwandans for All. Second half of that is All for Rwanda. It's a very important moment. And we're joined by Dr. Vincent Bizimana, who knows a considerable about this and is one of the initiators, I believe, of the statement. Are you there, doctor? Hello?
Yes, I'm getting this, good morning.
Good morning. Of course, I guess it's the evening in Zambia, so good evening to you.
Good evening, sir. Yeah, we are now 17 hours in Zambia.
Mm-hmm. You're addressing with this statement a really important, and it's called a silent problem. How is it that people don't know about this issue? Thousands of people endangered in East Congo, Rwandan, largely Hutu refugees. I think we have little problem with our link. What I suggest is we call a back and get it clearer. And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT. And well, I forgot. I'm still here. For my own coherence, I think I'm going to ask for a little music. Oh, is he? Oh, all right, sorry. Well, I understand we have you again, Dr. Bizimana. My question is, why isn't this widely known, that the refugees are in this dangerous situation in East Congo where there's a war going on?
Yeah, thank you very much. The situation in Congo, or DRC, or eastern part of Congo, actually, we have refugees, Rwandan refugees, there since 1994, when they left Rwanda because of RPF, Rwanda Patriotic Front attack, which made the millions of Rwandans leaving the country, and most of them, they went in DRC, eastern of Congo. From that side, the Rwandan refugees have had several challenges. They were living in the camps until 1996, where the RPF also attacked the Congo, and there was mass killing by the RPF. From there, some left Congo to neighboring countries, but we have several refugees, a good number of refugees, which remained in Congo. So mm-hmm. According to UNHCR, the number which is known as of now, there are between 250,000 Rwandan refugees and 300,000 Rwandan refugees there.
You know,
but the challenge which we are having right now is that since M23 have launched their attack in eastern Congo, they captured the areas where those refugees were living. And most of the refugees are facing problems such as killings and other human rights abuse. And that's why actually us as OFO Rwanda, together with SOS Refugee, we have actually continued to advocate on their behalf, because they have no means to advocate themselves because they are in a war area. And that's why you saw that communique, which was done by OFO Rwanda together with SOS Refugee. Mm-hmm. And again, what I wanted to mention from there is UNHCR has actually ignored them, because according to the information we have from the sources, that actually 60% of the refugees which are there, they are not recognized by the by UNHCR. They are not being helped humanitarians and so on. But meanwhile, they are being killed. And recently, I'm sure you saw on TV and also on social media where 181 Rwandan refugees were taken in the stadium, and today we don't even know where they are. And 2 days later, again, we saw on social media and these other international media that kids and women are being repatriated by force going to Rwanda. So we are now scared in their lives and so on. So that's a brief from what I can talk about, maybe the same question which you are asking.
Yeah, this problem actually is almost 30 years old, right? There is a problem that goes back to the bias of the international community towards these refugees. Isn't that true?
Yeah, actually, UNHCR, for you, if we talk about from 1996, UNHCR has really neglected the issue of Rwandan refugees, because even when they were actually destroying the refugee camps in Congo, UNHCR was there. But today we have less reports about what happened there. Mm-hmm. And if you look at now what is happening today, it's a continuation. There is nothing which has changed. UNHCR has been in Congo for several years. UN has been there for several years. We have peacekeeping missions there, which is called MONUSCO. All those things which are happening, it's happening in their eyes. It's happening during the day. But we are actually worried, because the international community is not considering those refugees. Or what we are hearing from the Rwandan government is that those people are FDLR. Those people, they are saying they committed genocide in Rwanda. But meanwhile, today, genocide took place 30 years ago.
Yes.
And why we are talking those refugees, the ones we are seeing, they are less than 30 years. So which means those are the people who were born from there. Those are the kids who were born from there, and the mothers who went to there maybe when they were teenagers. So the idea behind is that the Rwandan government is always saying it's FDLR, which wants to go and disable Rwanda, but they are forgetting that Rwanda refugees who remained in Congo due to the refugee camp destruction. So that's where the challenge is, and that's why also Rwanda and the SOS Refugee and the other activists continue to advocate for those refugees, because when you look at it, they are actually even being forgotten during the initiatives which are talking about peace in the region. So that's why we are here, and we keep on doing whatever we can with less means, actually. But we keep on raise the voice for the voiceless in Europe, in Africa, and elsewhere, so that at least maybe people should be aware that we have got people there who are suffering based on the political aspect, not really on the humanitarian aspect.
Now, yeah, the world should be told about this situation, but the UNHCR, they're under direct United Nations criteria. they're supposed to protect people from being coerced into returning. But they are actually in East Congo, walking alongside of the famous M23 organization condemned by the world, and they're not preventing the M23 from forcible return of Rwandans. Is that right?
Yeah, we understand that. But the issue is that when you look at the peace initiatives in the region, which are taking place right now, they are not mentioning Rwandan refugees. But meanwhile, those Rwandan refugees, over 250,000 available in the eastern region of Congo, they are not mentioned in the peace talks which are taking place right now. Mm-hmm. We have several peace initiatives such as Angola. We have the initiative which took place in Kenya, and currently there's one which is taking in America, and the other one in Qatar. But when you look at what we are talking about, there is none which is talking about the Rwandan refugees in eastern Congo. And meanwhile, we are facing issues such as killing, such as raping, such as kids who are facing problems. You know, so that's why us, we are actually worried. We are worried, and we have now taken a step to say, no, we can't keep quiet. Let us try and do something. But looking at our means, which are limited, the first step is to advocate, to talk, to make sure that people are aware of what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Are there no voices in the international community who are asking? One would think that the Congolese government would be concerned about the behavior of the UNHCR.
Yeah, actually, looking at how there is no one who is talking about these refugees, that's why both Rwanda, SOS refugee, and also Jambo, Rice Bell, and others who are on the ground working on this issue of Rwandan refugees, we have now taken this step of talking, of trying to advocate for them. But actually, when you look at the people there in Congo, they are also worried about their peace. So they are not really coming up and show that despite having these challenges, there are also other community of Rwandan refugees who are forgotten. Mm-hmm. They are being called FDR, they are being called terrorists. But meanwhile, they are kids, they are women. As you can see, if you manage to watch the national media and these other social media which are taking place, they are taking them by force. They are kids, they are women. So, and even the youth which are being taken, they are 6 years. So those are the people they are accusing to have committed genocide in Rwanda. But not yet. Those are the people who were born actually from there as refugees, who are not recognized by the DRC government. They are not recognized by UNHCR. So we are worried. They are nowhere. No one is actually doing anything about them.
We're talking to Dr. Bizimamana in Zambia, and there is an organization, Jambo, ASBL.com, which is one place where this issue can be followed. This question of there is an ongoing or war. I don't know if there's a ceasefire at the moment. But people should return to the old issue of the policies of the Kagame government, which has caused all these problems. It'd be if they define these refugees as sort of not qualified for protection, and that really goes all the way back to 1996, when the refugee camps in Congo were destroyed by Kagame. That's one of the crimes. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, the issue of ceasefire, we always see it in media, but when you look at the ground, there is no ceasefire. M23, backed by Rwanda, continues the offensive and is attacking several areas in Congo. And the only worry to us Rwandan refugees is that the same area where they are occupying and also the other areas where they are attacking, that's where our people are. So the issue is we are worried to what the international community is doing because it has forgotten them. Then the other issue is those people, they have also some, what I can say, what they wish to have, what they wish these people, they are saying for them to go back in Rwanda, they need the, maybe to talk to Rwandan government because they are saying that there are several things which should be changing in Rwanda, such as the rule of law, such as the proper reconciliation, such as other human rights considerations, so that they can actually go there freely. Actually, that's our main objective. We are trying to see how those people can be considered, they can be heard, so that even if they want to go back to our country, they go freely, voluntarily, not really by force as it's been done now.
Yeah, and going back is a very complicated issue. One is this, they have to be safe, guaranteed against violence, which Rwanda has a lot of violence. But then what kind of country are they going to be living in? Will they have any voice? Will their rights be protected?
Yeah, you are right, actually. We have several reports which have been reporting in the Rwanda government that we have got people who are missing, we have got issues regarding the human rights, and we have got issues of people who are missing. Several reports have been always reporting that. So I'm sure that's why even those refugees are scared of going back. Really, and even those which are being repatriated by force, we are scared that maybe anything can happen to them. Mm. But all what we want is to raise the voice through you, the media, through other stakeholders, such as UNHCR, such as UN Security Council, such as Human Rights Watch, and the other stakeholders who really look into this conflict management in the world, so that really they can really help to see how we can save the lives of people there who are suffering as of now.
The you also have asked in this petition to the UNHCR that they do some investigating, and that would be they should go all the way back to the original decision not to protect the camps. But that seems to me to be a very helpful idea for the international community to get a report on how was it that more than a couple of 100,000 people could find themselves with no status at all.
Yeah, actually, the failure for UNHCR to protect the camps in 1996 really even asked refugees, whether those in Congo or other in Africa or elsewhere in the world, we still have the problem to know exactly why the international community failed to protect the refugees by then. Because if you look at, if you heard about the mapping report, has clarified that a lot of millions of people, millions of refugees, actually, millions of refugees actually died, others lost their mothers, others lost their beloved. But up to now, the international community has gone mute over us. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, with those issues which left 1996, it was clear, open. Mm-hmm. That was the Rwandan government, Ugandan government, it was really being done open. So the worry is, up to now, we haven't received any justice over those people who died by then. Despite that, we are still actually looking at what is happening now. Actually, the story now is coming back. Those are the people who were displaced from the refugee camps into the forest and into the other areas of Eastern region. But now they are facing the challenges which actually were faced in 1996. So the worry is, the international community went mute. Even what is happening right now, no one is talking about it. So please, we are worried and we want now to advocate harder through these international media, through these advocates who have got more or bigger voices than us, so that this issue can really be looked into it.
Dr. Bizimana, this is also tied to the whole question of bringing peace in East Congo, where the M23, and backed by the Rwandan government, has created this havoc. These two issues, which could be treated separately, inevitably are somewhat linked in terms of bringing peace, right? I mean, it was the aggression by the M23 that has created this new crisis.
Yeah, this M23 really has created this new crisis in Congo. Actually, it has become more dangerous than it was before, because now they are occupying almost 80% of the eastern region of Congo. And this is an issue which is not actually issue of the Congolese, as you are saying. It's a movement backed by Rwanda. They are being used to destabilize the region. And where our worry is just our refugees who are there, who are just actually having problems based on the conflict which is being caused by the Rwandan government. And the issue is that we keep on saying that we are worried about those refugees. And also, we are also worried about the security in the region, because once the international community takes part and we make sure that maybe Kagame's troop or Rwanda Defense Force moves back their forces back to Rwanda and leave the issue to Congolese, maybe a bit can happen. But we are worried, because despite the initiatives of peace taking place in the region, but we still face the attacks in different areas of eastern region of Congo.
Well, it just underlines how important this initiative by Rwanda for All and the SOS refugee call, and particularly directing attention to the duties of the United Nations High Commissioner. Dr. Bizimana, we're very grateful. I hope that people will go to jamboasbl.com and inform themselves and also support this initiative. Dr. Bizimana, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, actually, thank you very much. What I can add on is that this initiative of Rwanda actually started in 2022. Mm-hmm. It is actually an initiative for refugees themselves, the Rwandan refugees themselves. It started when the M23 actually opened the attack in eastern Congo. And we saw that actually our Rwandan refugees living there, they are having challenges. And we started the initiative from there. We are advocating for refugees in all, apart from Rwandan refugees living in Congo. We have also other refugees living in Zambia, other refugees living in Malawi, Mozambique, South Africa, Congo Brazzaville, Cameroon, Uganda, Kenya. So it's an initiative actually which has got a long-term vision for advocating for Rwandan refugees, but also looking at how and which way these refugees should go back in Rwanda voluntarily when their rights have been considered. So thank you very much, and We are there whenever you want to know more about Rwandan refugees in Congo, Africa, and elsewhere in the world.
Well, we thank you, and we will follow this very closely, and we hope to talk to you again sometime soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Bye-bye. This is The Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto, and we're going to take a musical break, and we'll be back.